Galatians chapter 3. Folks, keep the building situation in your prayers. That building has not sold. Although nobody will return my calls, nobody will return our realtor Tom's calls. God knows what he's doing. All right? Amen. God knows what he's doing. I don't. I know he's doing something, and whatever God does is good with me. Amen. But I wish he'd hurry up and show me. But he will. He will. Amen. He will. He's a good God. Just to let you know, folks, my sister told me, and I forgot to mention this, she said that they've tried all kinds of different medicines, different things. Nothing seemed to be working, and her insurance is giving her a hard time. Amen. And so God is just awesome that he intervened here. I'm believing God for complete healing. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a great and a mighty God. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read verse 14 to 22. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Understand that, folks. God knows thy works. He knows what you're doing. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee. The Lord says, look, you don't even realize how poor you are, how miserable you are, how blind and naked you are. You don't even understand, he's saying. But let me give you some advice, he's saying. I counsel thee to buy of me tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you just move in this auditorium this morning. God, that you anoint, Lord, your speaker. God, that you anoint your servant, Lord, to speak, hallelujah, that you anoint every ear to hear, Lord, that they'll receive this here and apply it today to their life. God, we give you the praise and the glory right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you give him a hand clap as you're seated? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I want to speak to you as you're seated this morning, lukewarm neediness versus obedience and faith. Lukewarm neediness versus obedience and faith. In this passage, the Lord was telling the church they were a needy church. They didn't even realize how needy they were. And we live in a society, folks, where people need everything they see today. They need a new house. They need a new car. They need new clothes. They need this and they need that. This attitude has been brought into the church as well. But as a church, we really do need something. Jesus looked at the church in Laodicea. Now, understand Laodicea, folks. This city was wrecked by an earthquake, and then when they rebuilt it, they came back stronger than ever. They sold black wool. They invented this eye salve, and they were very wealthy. And this was brought into the church. And Jesus looked at Laodicea church, and he found a church which needed much. They were quite needy, but not in their own eyes. The church in Laodicea needed. They needed zeal. Jesus knew their works. This is the last letter to one of the churches in Asia Minor. And notice that to each congregation, Jesus said, I know your works. There is no hiding our works from Jesus. And he knows what this church does collectively. Jesus knew that the church was neither hot nor cold. In a spiritual sense, the church at Laodicea, they were neither cold nor hot. They weren't on fire for Jesus, nor were they against him. They were doing what they were doing half-heartedly. You see, we can become lukewarm ourselves and act half-heartedly. Amen? We don't care if we study the scripture. We don't care if we worship or not. We don't care if we strive to keep ourselves pure from sin or not. Scripture addresses those who just serve God half-heartedly. In 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with all perfect heart. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10, and yet for all her treacherous sisters, Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly needed, saith the Lord. Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, both God and money. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. That doesn't leave a lot of room for anything else, does it? You see, because this church had become lukewarm, Jesus was going to spit them out of his mouth. He literally means to vomit. The idea is that this church was so repulsive that Jesus had to get rid of them. If we are lukewarm, neither on fire for Jesus or opposed to him, we gag him, folks, and he spews us out of his mouth. Are you lukewarm today? Amen. We know where we're at. Amen. Will Jesus vomit you out of his mouth? See, they needed Jesus at this church. They said they were rich and had become wealthy and had need of nothing. Laodicea was a very affluent city known for its black wool, which was made into garments in demand throughout the empire. This brought much wealth of the city, and the city was also well known for the eye salve produced in the ophthalmology school there. The church had been influenced by the city culture, and they thought they needed nothing spiritually. They thought they had everything together and that they were the perfect congregation. But they were wretched. The Bible says they were miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were destitute. They had nothing in the eyes of God. Instead of having everything together as they thought, they had many, many needs. And like those in Laodicea, folks, we can deceive ourselves. We can think we have everything together spiritually, that we have arrived, that in fact we are spiritually weak. Jesus counseled them to buy from him what they needed. What is Jesus saying here in this verse? He's saying, look, you have needs you don't even know of. Because you are all about yourself. You think everything's fine. You live in nice homes. You drive nice cars. Amen. You have nice clothes. Amen. But let me tell you something. God is trying to tell them there. You need to understand what you need is me. You need to buy from me. What they needed to buy would correct what they were. It was the gold would correct their poverty. When we read that they were wealthy, Jesus said, no, you're not. The garments would correct their nakedness. Well, they had this wool and they had all these fancy clothes. No, you're not. The eye salve would correct their blindness. Just as this congregation needed to go to Jesus for what they needed spiritually, folks, we need to go to Him for what we need spiritually. Amen. We need to understand that better than our homes, that better than our nice cars, that better than our clothes and our great jobs and all these things, we need God spiritually every day. What we need spiritually cannot be found anywhere but in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Whatever you need, folks, is through in Him. It is because of Him. Hallelujah. If we want blessed spiritually, we must go to Christ. Are you going to Christ for what you need spiritually? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? When you can come to church and you don't worship the Lord like you should worship. When you're not feeling well, you don't get prayer. And you should go to the altar and get prayer. God is saying you act like you don't need me. When you're not faithful to the house of God, God is saying you don't need me. Therefore, you're blind, you're naked, you're poor. We need Him every day. We need everything about Him, folks. Amen. Don't get to a place where you think you have arrived. Don't get to a place where you think you don't need God. Or you're a seasoned Christian. Amen, folks. We need to understand I need you more than I needed you yesterday, God. Come on. They needed repentance. See, those whom Jesus loved, the Bible says He rebukes and He chastens. Although Jesus was disappointed in this church, He still loved them. And I want you to understand today, folks, you may not be exactly where you need to be. Maybe you think you're better off than you are spiritually. Amen. But I want you to understand, God says, listen, I will correct those that I love. Although Jesus was disappointed, He still loves us. Even though He becomes disappointed with us, He still loves us. Amen. There's times when we have to correct our children. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't love them. We're disappointed at that moment for what they've done, but we still love them. Jesus was showing His love through His rebuke. And just as parents rebuke their children out of love, God disciplines His children out of love. We don't like to hear some of these things sometimes that I'm talking about this morning. We don't like to hear that it rubs us the wrong way. But I want you to understand God still loves us. And God still wants us to understand that we need Him every day. He doesn't matter how much He's blessed you. And there's many of us can say God has blessed us tremendously. Well, you better understand where those blessings come from. And you better understand how much you need Him every day. And when you come into the presence of God, you need to worship Him like you have never worshiped Him. You need to praise Him like you've never praised Him. If you need healing, you need to seek Him to heal you. If you need whatever, God wants you to understand, you need me. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5 through 6. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. Let me tell you something. If you're not receiving discipline of the Lord, you better be checking yourself and say, hey, am I still where I need to be? Are you His? Because He said He disciplines those that are His. Jesus shows His love for us by rebuking and chastening us. See, there are going to be times that we need to be rebuked. There's going to be times we need chastened. Amen? He does this in several ways. Jesus does this through Scripture. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. And He is the one to whom we are accountable. Don't show God Don't show the secret parts of me. Well, don't you want his fatherly love? David said, search me. Search me and know my thoughts. Expose me. Jesus also does this through providence, folks. Something may occur that causes me to realize my way of living isn't correct. Like maybe addicts refer to as hitting bottom. For example, if I am a Christian struggling with alcohol and I'm driving drunk and pulled over and arrested and forced into rehab, I just might decide to correct my actions. Jesus also does this through his people. If I'm not living right, my brethren have a responsibility to correct me. You hear what I'm saying? If I'm not living right, my brethren have a responsibility to correct me. Had someone tell me the other day, they were talking to someone and trying to help them in a situation, and they came out and said, listen, I don't listen to nobody but the pastor. Then you're a fool. You need a pastor in your life, that's true. But you need, the Bible tells us we have to be submitted one to another. Amen. If a brother or somebody sees you at a fault, folks, amen, they need to be able to come to you and say, hey, listen, this you're not doing right. But let me tell you something, folks. If you're going to go to somebody and you're going to tell them that they're doing wrong, you better have the answer. Because if you don't have something to give them to help them, you have no business talking to them. Don't just go tell them you're wrong. Hey, you're wrong. I've been where you're at, and this is what I did. You see what I'm saying? You better have an answer. We don't need to go tell people and point out they're wrong and then say, well, it's not my problem to fix it. It is if you're going to tell them. But let me tell you something. If your brother or sister comes to you, you better thank God they love you enough to come to you, because that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing for your pastor to do sometimes. Amen. But you better be thankful that they're coming to you and want to help you and care for you. You need to be thankful that they're even noticing that there's a problem, because there's a lot of other people here. Amen. We need to let them come and help correct our issues. Jesus also does this through his people. I'm not living right. If I'm not living right, my brother have the responsibility. So Galatians 6:1-2 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We don't like that word meekness, do we? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, don't go in there like, I don't have problems, but this guy does. You need to understand, like the scripture says here, you better be careful in case you fall. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If I'm not living right, my brethren have a responsibility to withdraw fellowship. That means if they've tried to help you and correct you, and you continually push them away, and you continually live in it, they are to withdraw fellowship from you. Then you know what we hear when you hear that? When somebody don't want to do things right, at church they all think they're better than me. No, the Bible tells us to withdraw fellowship. Well, come on. Do I need to park here, folks, or is this all right? Is this okay? 1 Corinthians 5, go read it. Jesus rebukes this congregation in order that they might repent. Don't come up here and just cry because you got caught. You need to come up here with a sorrowful repentance. God, I am sorry. I sinned not only against my brothers and sisters, I sinned against you. Jesus rebukes this congregation in order that they might repent, folks. His rebuking them is not to be cruel, but he is trying to help them. He wants them to make things right. If there are things in our lives that are not right, Jesus wants us to repent. He wants us to turn back to Him. Jesus wants to have a close relationship with you. Hear me today, folks. Jesus wants a close relationship with you, but you must realize your need for Him. You can't have a close relationship with somebody unless they realize you need each other. In Revelation 3:18-19, so I advise you, here's the Lord advising us again. So I advise you to buy gold from me. To buy from me gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white nakedness, buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed of your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Understand me today, folks. Obedience is the key that unlocks God's promises. Now, I know sometimes it's frustrating when we ask God to help in a certain area and it seems like He's not there. Well, I've asked God to heal me of this. I've asked God to take care of this situation. I've asked God to bless my relationship with my wife. I've asked God to do this. I've asked God to do that. Have you ever looked to see that maybe it's your fault why God is not doing it? Now here God is telling this church in Laodicea, look, you come in here in the church and you think you're all right. You think you got it together. You think you're a great church. But you act like you don't even need me because you are well off yourself. What I'm trying to point out here this morning is, folks, that God can bless us so much that we get to a point where I don't feel like going to church, or I don't want to worship when I go. I'll just sit there and watch everybody else, or I won't go up for prayer. You understand what I'm trying to talk about here today, folks? We get to a place where we realize we think we don't need God. Now, you're not telling yourself that, but your actions are. Is this all right? And Jesus said, you need to buy gold from me that is purified of fire. You need to buy white garments, amen, so you're not ashamed of your nakedness. And you need ointment for your eyes so you can see. But it's going to come through discipline. Because I discipline everyone that I love. So I'm speaking to you today, and I want you to understand, folks, obedience is the key that unlocks God's promises to us. Now, there's a lot of times we'll come to church, we'll pay our tithes, or we'll do this, or do a few things, but there's certain things that we just don't want God to bother us in. God says, you want my promises? You want my blessings? You better start obeying. Deuteronomy 5, verse 33 says, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. What's he saying there? Walk in the ways that I command you. Have you ever thought about the link between faith and obedience? Now, you can sit here and say you have faith in God. But if you're not obedient, you don't have faith in God. If there's certain things that God has spoke to you, or if there's things that are in the Word of God, amen, and you're not following, then you're not being obedient. There's a link between obedience and faith. When you trust someone, you do what they say. Come on. Come on, if somebody's coming up to you and you got a situation and you need some help in, amen. If there's somebody you don't trust and they're trying to say, hey, if you do this and this and this, and you're like, just get out of here. You may not say to them, get out of here, but in your mind you're like, just get away from me. I don't want to hear. I don't trust you. I wouldn't do anything you told me to do. Right? Someone come up to you, you know they don't know anything about a car, and they tell you to do this. You know how some people, they know everything. Right? They know, it's this. I've had people tell me this before. You know, I've worked on cars all my life. My dad had a junkyard. I've worked on more cars than you can shake a stick at. Okay? And I know somebody that come to me and it's this. I'm like, yeah, right. Just leave me alone. I'm not going to make them look stupid, you know what I mean? But I don't want to hear anything they have to say because I know they don't know what they're talking about. Okay? That's what I'm talking about, folks, those kind of people. When there's somebody you trust, though, my brother John, I mean, he's far better. I'm okay. I can tell you what area it is. I am nowadays. I don't want to work on any of these new cars. I work on the ones you used to be able to crawl under the hood. Okay, I'm dating myself here. All right. But my brother John, usually he tells me, I know he knows what he's talking about. And there's times I'll call him because I trust him in that area. Okay. When you trust someone, you will do what they say. So if he tells me do this, this, and this, I'll do it. If you don't do what someone tells you to do, it means you don't trust them. And folks, God has commands throughout His Word. And I'm asking today, do you trust Him? Are there some of those commands that God has asked you to do that you refuse to do? Blocking your promises. In the Bible, God links faith and obedience over and over and over again. The promises of God are conditioned on you following the commands He gives you. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in the way of the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Folks, I believe some of the problems at Laodicea was that they weren't doing things. They thought they were fine. If we just go to church and we just claim that this is a great thing to live for God, and I believe they weren't obeying some of the things of the Lord. And God says, listen, you need to obey me. Buy gold of me. Get the garments of mine. Get the eye salve. Amen. If you'll do these things, I'm correcting you. God has made some incredible specific promises in His Word about obedience. In fact, there are so many promises that I can't even list them all. Amen. Proverbs 16:20, God blesses those who obey Him. Amen. Psalm 7:10, He saves those who obey Him. Psalm 33:18, the Lord watches over those who obey Him. Psalm 37:18, the Lord takes care of those who obey Him. And 1 John 3:22, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. Proverbs 28:14, always obey the Lord and you will be happy. If you are stubborn, you will be ruined. Proverbs 19:16, keep God's laws and you will live longer. If you ignore them, you will die. Psalms 34:9-10, those who obey Him have all they need. Those who obey the Lord lack nothing good. And you can go on and on and on. Awesome list of promises, folks, if you follow God's directions. If you follow His directions, you will be blessed, you will be saved, you'll be watched over, you'll be taken care of, you'll be given what you asked for, and you'll be happy, you'll live longer, you'll lack nothing. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. Obedience is the promise behind all the promises. God gives you His promise. How? By grace. Right? We don't deserve it. But you get to enjoy God's promises when you follow God's instructions. And come on, folks. We as parents, we understand that. You tell your kids to do something. Amen. You don't give them their allowance if they don't do what you're told. Right? Dad, I want an allowance. I want to buy a bike. Okay, here, so do this every day. And Dad, where's my allowance? Well, you didn't do what I asked you to do. God, will you heal me? God, will you do this? Will you save my loved ones? Yeah, if you do what I say. I give you all the promises, but you won't listen. How can I give you these blessings if you won't do what you're told? He's a good father. There's a song, He's a good, good father, right? Come on, we know that through Scripture. He's a good father. But man, he understands that when I tell you to do something, you got to do it. Listen, if you won't correct your kids, the Bible tells you don't love them. Don't go there, Pastor. I tell you what, I love my kids. I beat the snot out of them. I took care of them, didn't I, Tishon? Tishon hung around my house. He moved in. What, you 16? Moved in? 15. Amen. Come on, folks. God says if you love them, you'll correct them. I'm telling you. You don't do what God asks you to do. You don't want to spank them when they need a spanking. You don't want to do that. The Bible says you don't love them. God says, I'm a good father. I'll bless you if you obey me. But don't expect things from me if you won't listen. You see, the promises come because of his grace. And if you can enjoy these promises when you listen to God and you follow his instructions. Sometimes, folks, you understand God's instructions, right? There's some instructions that God says. We understand and we know why. But there's sometimes you don't. And you need to obey whether or not you understand. You know why it's important that a child listen when you're told, stop that? And you shouldn't have to tell them 15 times. You understand why? What if they're running toward the road and you say, and you see a car coming, and you say, stop! And they just keep running because they're so used to you telling them stop 15 times. I'm telling you, when you speak, they should go. If they don't, you got a problem. If they're used to you, oh, they'll yell at me 10 more times. And they're just running. They don't see the vehicle coming. Whose fault is it? You see, I believe, I've said this in many of my teachings, right? Where's Brother Rob at? He likes my teachings. He wants me to go on the road. But I'm just doing the Word of God. But I say this, if he can do it after three, he can do it after one. You know, this 1, 2, 3 junk. Sometimes we don't understand what God asks us to do. But everything mom and dad ever asked you to do, maybe you didn't understand. And then you say, why? Because I told you you did. And they didn't give you an explanation. But they knew why you shouldn't be doing it. And now that you're an adult, you understand where they were coming from. But then you didn't. But the thing about it is you better know this. And I'll tell you what, when my dad spoke, this guy listened. Because he would lay into me. And I mean it. And my dad never did 1, 2. No, he didn't. He'd pull that belt out and you'd hear it. Or he had hands that were huge. Weren't they, Tishon? And they covered every bit of my behind. Every bit of it. But he did things because he loved me. So sometimes we don't understand, and you need to obey whether you understand or not. And some of God's commands might sound confusing, but some may even sound unfair. For example, the Bible says to take the first 10% of your income and give it back to God. Now, why is it? Why, God? I'm the one that worked for it. It says that when people do evil to you, you are to do good back to them. Why, God? These things don't always make sense from a human standpoint, folks. But the things that don't make sense to us are the things that God asks us to do by faith. By faith. So if you don't do them, if you're not obedient to what he tells you, then you don't have faith. Right? God wants us to trust him and obey anyways. Don't you want to enjoy all of God's promises? See, obedience is the key that unlocks those promises. choose you to follow his directions, folks. Choose to follow his directions in faith. I don't understand it, but God said to do it. That's all I need. You think that Noah, you know, had never rained like that? God said, build an ark. Why we need this, but I'll do it. He did it. He wants to award our obedience. He wants to give you, bless you, because you are obedient. Think about this, folks. If faith is best understood as reasonable certainty, then this means that we either believe something or we don't believe something. Right? If we doubt something, then we don't believe it. That makes sense? If we doubt something, we really don't believe it. And folks, that to me, as a Christian, is kind of scary. I want to believe everything God says. I try to obey everything God says. I do mess up, okay? But I don't do it because I don't want to listen to that. I believe it's all important. I don't believe I can pick and choose out of the Word of God what I need to obey. Is anybody with me? But yet, there's so many things that we do, folks, that sometimes it just says, just stay here, God. Stick. If we doubt something, then we don't believe it. The Bible tells me if I need to call for the elders. I need prayer. I need to do that. The Bible tells me I need to pay my tithes. I do that. I believe in it. The Bible tells me I need to be faithful to church. I believe in it. And then go on. The list can go on and on and on. I believe in these things. You see, listen, the centurion believed some truths of the Lord and that few others even believed. See, the centurion believed that if Jesus wanted to heal someone, he could do it with a simple word and from a great distance. And here's what the centurion told Jesus in Matthew 8, verse 8. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. There was few that believed that. And that's what blew Jesus away. This truly is great faith, folks. And few believe such an idea either in the days of Jesus or today. And as a result of what he spoke to Jesus, he said, look, you don't need to go to my house. I don't know why he didn't want him to go there. Maybe the house was filthy. I don't know. He said, you don't need to go there. I don't think it was that, though. I think it was he just understood authority. And this truly is great faith. And few believe in this idea. But Jesus marveled at this man's great faith. It blew him away. And healed his servants from a distance simply by the power of his word. All the other great faith passages in the Bible, folks, can be understood in similar ways. And the context here always reveals that someone is believing something that is difficult to believe and that few people do believe. Think about it. Go search them. Search all the great healing passages and great faith passages. It's somebody who is believing something that few believe. And it's probably because it's difficult for people to believe, but they're doing it and God does great things for them. And we live in a day and age where people don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want a pastor in their life. They don't want to be faithful to church. They don't want to give money to the church. They don't even like churches anymore. And so therefore, when you tell people that God can do this and do that, it's hard for people to believe. But the ones that are being blessed and mightily used of God are the ones that are believing things that nobody else wants to believe. And God is blessing their life. Where are we today
Amen. Do we want to be truly apostolic? Amen. Do we want God to use us? I'm telling you, if you're here under the sound of my voice today, I'm telling you that God wants to use each and every one of us. He wants you to believe Him when nobody else will. So great faith is not a large amount of faith or a high percentage of faith. Great faith simply believes truths that are difficult to believe. Let's stand. Let me say it again. So great faith is not a large amount of faith or a high percentage of faith. Great faith simply believes truths that are difficult to believe.